Do I look like I work for the FBI?
A little bit. It's the glasses.
Oh, okay.
Scully.
Great, now they know I wear glasses.
Doxed. Fully doxed. Episode 4 of the TV Pilot Podcast. The truth is out there.
The truth.
Oh, that's
this podcast based on true events.
The truth is out there.
And like maybe Godfrey, give that an echo.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there.
Thank you.
Can you give things an echo?
I'm Gideon.
I'm Andrew.
And this is The
TV Pilot Podcast.
I didn't want to do what we did last time. I specifically did not want to.
What did we do last time?
We synced up. We were the TV Pilot Podcast.
Oh, that's awful.
Why did we do that? That's why I didn't want to do it.
All right.
Anyways, so The X-Files. Truth is out there.
The X-Files. Old show, good show.
Good show, yeah. We
recently brought back.
Discuss how we felt about the show. Neither of us had seen The X-Files until we watched for this podcast.
Isn't that what you want when you're looking up podcasts about shows?
Yes.
Like that, you want someone totally inexperienced, completely fresh eyes to give
for
you
the most part
the expert take.
We're three for four on that. You're 4 for 4.
I'm 4 for 4. I had never seen so far any of the shows that we had watched for this podcast.
I am 3 for 4. But, I mean, we did Seinfeld, so that's...
Because Gideon's a little freak for Seinfeld.
Okay, anyways. So, X-Files started in 1993. It just saturated 90s culture. It was big. So, the main thing about X-Files is that it was the first show to get internet fans, if that makes sense.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Star Trek.
Internet? There was no internet in the
60s.
There was as soon as there was an internet, there was a Star Trek.
Okay, but they were already established people. Like people were already established as Star Trekkie, as Trekkies with these groups and conventions. The internet grew with X-Files fandom, and
that's
so
fair.
That's how
it is. It is peak 90s. It's got David Duchovny. It's got not trusting the government. It's got.
So, okay.
It's got online message boards.
The creator and showrunner, Chris Carter, he originally worked for Disney on comedies, like comedy shows and movies, just a handful. And so he wanted to delve away from that and wanted a show that he kind of took inspiration from The Twilight Zone and a show called Kolchak the Night Stalker, which was a Monster of the Week, an old like 70s Monster of the Week show.
Okay.
Another big aspect of this X-Files was the Watergate scandal. So like this was all his childhood in the 70s, growing up in the 70s. He just remembered distrust in the government, monsters, and mystery. And like that's the X-Files.
That's the X-Files.
And it worked, you know?
Thank God it did.
So he knew a guy, a psychologist, who worked for some university, I forget, but 3% of Americans at that time believed that they had been abducted by aliens, which is a
high
number.
Crazy.
Yes.
That's hundreds of thousands of people.
Inspired him to have it about aliens. He was initially rejected for his first pitch, and then took a few weeks to flesh out the concept more, and then Fox Mulder, Fox greenlit the pilot. And so, inspiration for Scully was Silence of the Lambs. She, the Gillian Anderson, used, I already forgot her name, Clarice Starling as a model or idea.
Yeah.
Her.
I mean, that's...
Ooh, fun facts.
Fun facts.
Gillian Anderson got pregnant in the second season.
Cool.
And so they wanted to recast her.
Oh no!
But I think it was already kind of big, like
talking about peak 90s.
I don't know how if it was like as big as it would get already or not, but it was already big enough that they were like, no, you can't recast her. So they had to write in a storyline about, I don't want to spoil season 2. So they had to adjust the storyline so that her character wasn't there. And then they made, I don't know if they added to her contract or made her sign something or what, But they pretty much told her, you can't get pregnant until the show is over.
That's
peak 90s. Peak, yeah, 90s. So...
peak 90s. Distrusting the government, disrespecting women.
Oh, they almost cast Bruce Campbell as Mulder.
Oh, I saw that. Ah, that would have been, that's a missed opportunity. David Duchovny, great. Bruce Campbell is good and
it would have been, would have been better?
It would have been different.
It would have been different.
I think it would have, a good different.
Well, then.
Would it have been better?
I love Bruce Campbell.
If Bruce Campbell was doing, if he was doing this, he wouldn't have been able to play his character in Burn Notice. Which I see
I don't
as
think
overall
so.
Good.
Burn Notice started after this ended.
He would have been too famous.
Oh,
he would have been
maybe.
David
Duchovny
famous. They wouldn't have been able to afford him.
Well, is David Duchovny that famous? I recognize the name.
Too famous for friggin' Burn Notice.
I recognize the name, but then I looked. I was like, I don't think I've seen this guy in anything. I just know the name. Which I guess is being famous.
I mean, it's like, you know, Tony Shalhoub was Monk, and then he kind of flew under the radar for years doing character acting.
Doing
now he's,
kind of whatever he wanted,
I guess.
Similar to Seinfeld. Entertainment Weekly thought this show would be canceled immediately after the pilot aired.
Ooh, why'd they think that? Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, but it would go on to run for 9 seasons, 2 movies, and then get 2 more seasons in 2016 and 2018.
God, I wonder how it feels to be so wrong about something. I could never.
You could never? Okay. Godfrey's got it. He's marking it. Okay. The fan base started small and eventually exploded to a worldwide cult audience. It's theorized to be the first show whose growth was tied to the internet, especially with Mulder and Scully's use of cell phones and email, which is interesting. I mean, we've only seen the first episode, but I imagine they use that a lot more later on as it becomes... And I imagine that becomes, you know, especially with distrust in the government and trying to solve these things, they rely on that probably later
in
the series.
It is kind of jarring in older TV shows, people not having access to smartphones.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, that's just, my brain has been polluted. But it is weird, you know, seeing, you know, watching Seinfeld or X-Files and seeing people with, like, little flip phones or car phones.
There's an episode of Cheers where Frasier walks in with a briefcase and they're like, what's in the briefcase? He's like, it's not a briefcase, it's a mobile phone.
Oh, it's like caveman times. It's like you might as well have pulled out a stick and flint and lighted a fire to send
smoke signals. X-Files with the PH, the fans tended to be internet savvy themselves, and they would review episodes online on unofficial websites, and that's what started online communities about the show.
Wow.
And they would post fan fiction. And it's the first major show to have internet shippers of characters.
Mulder and Scully. I don't know, I don't think there's too many other...
Yeah, that was apparently a major debate among fans, and, people would describe themselves as no-romos, which is internet lingo for not romantic, as in they don't want them getting together. It was weird.
Internet slang has really evolved.
One of the lingo, UST, unspoken sexual tension. So yeah,
I'm in the UST category. There is so much unspoken sexual tension in this first episode that Gideon just does not see.
Mm-hmm.
God, we'll get into it.
The show inspired other shows such as Strange World, Lost, Fringe, Warehouse 13, Supernatural, Gravity Falls.
Ooh.
I've never seen Gravity Falls, but it's supposed to be also weird.
Yeah, it's a children's show.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of those same elements of investigating small town in Oregon. Oregon, is it? I think so.
I think maybe.
But it's sort of in that same vein. And I think it's safe to say that X-Files inspired a lot of those.
And then even some crime dramas like 11th Hour and Bones had key aspects from X-Files carryover.
You can really I've watched a lot of episodes of Bones. You can really feel the influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
me and my family were super into Bones for the first few seasons.
Yeah, especially the sort of character dynamic of.
I wonder if probably not, but if this was the first show where every episode I've only seen two of them. But where every episode starts with a little teaser of something weird happening.
I'm
and
wondering,
that's the case.
I would call it a cliche at this point, but I'm wondering if other episodes, other shows like Law and Order or something could even start at doing that at this point. For the most part, they all do that. They show the, you know, the original, the girl or it's usually
the victim,
young
the victim running the victim, yeah. or, you know, just whatever weird things going on or yeah. terrifying.
Someone finding a body, yeah. like something like that.
So X-Files, once it got big, it was referenced, it's been referenced by Simpsons, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Third Rock from the Sun, Archer, News Radio, American Horror Story, Big Bang Theory, Breaking Bad, Castle, Hey Arnold, King of the Hill, South Park, and 2 1/2 Men.
Yeah.
And others. I'm sure plenty of others, but tons. Those are the main ones.
Yeah, it's the X-Files references are definitely, like, especially the theme song is very
There's
iconic.
An episode of Simpsons. Oh, yeah, the theme song for sure. Mm-hmm. But there's an episode of Simpsons where Gillian Anderson and Dave Duchovny, I think, voice characters that are supposed to be their X-Files. I don't think they have yeah. the same name, but they're for all intents and purposes.
Simpsons was big Scully on that. They were big on pulling people in, like celebrity voice actors to play themselves or like versions of whoever they played on TV.
X-Files was also referenced in songs by Sheryl Crow and the Bare Naked Ladies. There were songs, yeah, 1 week. Watching X-Files with the lights on. There were songs called Mulder and Scully and a song called David Duchovny and a song called Letter to Dana. Just that's how big X-Files was, is you could yeah. just make a song about X-Files.
Yeah,
and
it's like
it would get fairly big. Obviously not intergenerational, but
well, I mean it's the sort of the same thing with anything that enters the like cultural zeitgeist. I love that. It means it's German for world ghost.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Culture geist.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anything that enters the cultural zeitgeist is like that. Like, you know, Superman is Waiting for Superman, Fair. The Daughtry song.
Well, no, but even Kryptonite. Yeah, but those came out decades after Superman was established as a character.
Sure.
It's not like these songs came out while Superman was a comic book at the beginning.
Oh, that's
the
fair.
50s
yeah.
or whatever. It's sort and of then like no one listens to them anymore. Anyways, yes. Yeah. and then finally, Scully, Dana Scully, who majored in undergrad in physics and then went to med school and then became an FBI agent. She impacted how women on TV were perceived and behaved.
Yeah, really kind of
like changed things for the future of television.
Very stark contrast to how she was treated with her pregnancy and subsequent
yeah.
contract
for sure.
like alleged contract.
In fact, they wanted a prettier girl, like actress. They wanted like a blonde, sexy type. But Chris Carter was like, no, I like this girl. And he would have secret meetings with her and tell her how to audition, like helped her get the part.
Yeah.
And then funny enough, like 5 years later or so, she was named the sexiest woman or like a top 100, whatever, you know, those magazines do that. So
yeah.
That's kind of ironic. But X-Files, Scully and X-Files, I don't know if you can prove this or not, but there was the rate at which women went into STEM and law enforcement increased.
Really?
Yes.
Because and
after
they're attributing that to Dana Scully?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's
so
really cool
for her. So yeah, this show was just like, I mean, I'm going to say this for the 100th time, saturated 90s culture.
Mm-hmm.
It had a big influence on television, especially mystery televisions, not sitcoms, obviously not as much, but
yeah. The product of the 90s. Very big for...
It got a big fan base, was super popular, still super popular. I mean, the last season was only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think they're even having more in production. Like, they're still...
Oh, yeah, I'm time. Sure. There's two movies. I think they want to do a third.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into the...
Let's get into this recap?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the pilot.
The X-Files opens like a lot of crime dramas on a woman running through a dark forest. I think they should really sort of examine
that.
They started that. They, that's where it began. There's a dark figure and a bright light, and then we smash cut to an episode of Law & Order. She's found, you know, obviously the cops find her, and the a coroner is sort of skeptical that something of this earth did it. So it gets booted over to the titular X-Files. The X-Files being like the sort of unexplained cases in the FBI's roster. So things that are just sort of paranormal, so that can't be explained with science and reason and logic. So we cut to DC. Dana Scully is being assigned to the X-Files department in order to kind of prove to the higher-ups that the guy who's currently investigating the X-Files, Fox Mulder, that's his real name, his name is Fox Mulder, is full of shit. They wanna fire him. They wanna stop him from being, I assume, an embarrassment to the department.
It's established that he has done a lot of good work on cases. Yeah. And so now he's kind of free. He's established himself as a genius, and he's free to work in this department and be unbothered until now, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, Scully and Mulder talk in the basement of the FBI. Of course, it's this dank, moldy basement where they put the crazy that's investigating aliens. And Mulder says, you know, this is not a typical crime. It's not a typical murder. It's obviously aliens. Because, of course, why would you make a TV show if it was just like a normal crime? That would be so dumb. It'd be so boring. Like, you'd have to be crazy to make a television show.
You were so bad at this.
What are you talking about? My recap skills are perfect. I don't derail, ever.
You gotta keep in mind, we have 20 minutes of talking before this.
Oh, shit. This episode's gonna be off the rails. They end up going to this place where this, you know, murdered forest girl is.
Pacific Northwest.
The Pacific Oregon. Northwest, sort of, yeah. Oh, Oregon, specifically?
Oregon. He specifically says Oregon. Yeah.
No, I blocked that out. So they find the marks on her back have an unknown substance around them and are similar to marks on other bodies across the U.S. If that doesn't say aliens, I don't know what does. While driving into the town, their car radio and clock go crazy. Mulder stops the car and spray paints a large X on the road as some sort of, like, you know, breadcrumb in the road, just sort of marking, like, this is where it happened, where our car went crazy the first time. This will come back later. The agents meet the locals as they're exhuming the girl's body for re-examination.
The third victim. So this is the fourth person from a graduating class, the high school graduating class, a couple years ago to die.
So they're exhuming one of the previous
victims.
Because they think they're connected?
Yeah.
Okay. The locals are against it, particularly the sheriff and
the medical examiner.
And the medical examiner shows up with his daughter, same age as the recently murdered girl and the body they're exhuming. She was in the same graduating class. And he yells at them. They open the casket, and what they find is not a human skeleton. Cue X-Files music.
That was good.
Yes.
So they're examining the body. Scully went to med school. They established all her credentials.
Both of these guys could be doing so much more.
they're solving the X-Files, man.
All right.
So she thinks it's some sort of ape, possibly an orangutan body. She finds a metallic implant in the nose of the creature. And Mulder says, hey, I want tissue samples, I want x-rays, I want, you know, everything. And so then they go to a psychiatric hospital where two more classmates are being treated and where the third victim was previously staying before he was murdered, mysteriously killed. So they meet the two classmates. One of them is in a waking coma. And the other one is confined to a wheelchair, and she's reading to the other guy. And some shit goes down with the Peggy, the girl in the wheelchair, having a fit. And she starts bleeding from the nose, and they see marks on her back that match all the other victims. So more mystery. Ooh. And then, you know, they have an argument, Mulder is saying, oh, aliens, dude. And Scully being like, no, this can't be, you know, whatever. And so then that night, they go to the woods where all this mystery is happening. And Scully finds some ash on the ground, some serious ash. And then the sheriff shows up and tells them they're trespassing because it's a crime scene, and points a gun at them and tells them to leave.
I feel like you can't point a gun at an FBI agent. I think that's like super illegal.
Well, I mean, that's the point, I think, is why is he so against them solving this?
Well, yeah, but I think just in general, like, they can shoot you for that.
He'll shoot them back, you know?
In the real world, you point a gun at an FBI agent, they point a gun back at you. Like, this crime never gets solved.
Yeah.
There's a totally different crime now.
End of X-Files. And so, when they're driving back to town, it starts storming. Things start going haywire a little bit again. Mulder looks at his watch. It says 9:03. There's a flash of light, and then the car is out of power and rolls to a stop. And Mulder and Scully look at each other. Mulder looks at his watch, and suddenly it's 9:12. And he's like, we lost 9 minutes. I checked my watch right before the flash, and now it's 9 minutes later. And he gets out of the car, and there's the X on the road, right where their car stopped. And I was like going, what is going on?
what happened to them for 9 minutes? That's not ever established.
So Mulder tells Scully, he says, this, it's a common occurrence, a report from people being abducted that they lose time. They just don't know what happened. And, you know, that's part of the mystery.
Is this setting up some deeper plot in the show? Like, most they got definitely abducted for 9 minutes? Like,
I don't know. That's a good question. So they get back to the motel, and they kind of bond as Mulder tells Scully that his sister...
Heck yeah, they bond.
His sister was abducted when he was, like, 12 years old, and he got hypnotized and remembered in hypnosis, seeing aliens take his sister. And so it's become his kind of life's work to figure out.
It makes me trust Mulder a little less. Upon dealing with childhood trauma, he goes to a hypnotist.
Then they get a mysterious phone call from an anonymous source telling them that the girl in the wheelchair from the psych ward is dead. So they go, and she was hit by a truck. And the driver says that she ran out into traffic. And Mulder's like, she ran into traffic? And Scully's looking at the body, and her watch is broken on lying in the street. And it stopped at 9:03, which is when they had that flash of light. And again, I'm sitting on my couch going, what? So then, while they're at the scene of the accident, Mulder's informed that someone broke into the morgue and stole the body that they exhumed. And so he's upset about that. They get back to the motel, and it's on fire. And all their evidence, all the tissue and x-rays and stuff are, you know, gone because fire. Except for Scully kept the metal implant that she had taken out. She had it in a thing in her pocket. So that's the last piece of evidence. And so then the daughter of the medical examiner runs up to them while they're outside this fire, and she says, help, I'm in trouble. And then it cuts to commercial again.
So after they come back from commercial, they are with the daughter at
Teresa.
24-hour, they don't matter.
Okay.
But you know who matters to me? The guy named Fox. So they're at a 24-hour diner. And the daughter is telling them about how she's woken up in the forest several times, and now she is terrified that she is the same thing that happened to all her classmates is going to happen to her. And then she admits that she also has the same strange marks on her back. Her nose starts bleeding at the table.
That's funny. She says, don't worry, we're going to protect you.
And then immediately, it's like really teed up the aliens there. Her nose starts bleeding, and her dad comes in. Her dad, the
suspicious medical examiner.
The suspicious medical examiner. With him as the local sheriff.
Or the detective. I forget exactly what it was.
It's a small town. I think it's the sheriff.
Yeah.
The sheriff, also it's revealed at this point, is the father of the boy in the coma, in the waking coma. The agents, then they go out to check on the other two victims' bodies, only to find that their graves have been dug up. The two bodies that they hadn't been able to exhume yet, their graves have been dug up, and the casket's completely removed. Mulder realizes that the victims must have been taken to the woods by Billy, the boy in the coma. So they go back to the psych hospital while interviewing one of the nurses on staff. Scully finds ash on the bottom of Billy's feet. You know, the kid who is supposedly in a waking coma, hasn't moved for years. They find the same material on the bottom of his feet that's in the forest that Scully found when they were threatened by the sheriff. They head back to the woods where they confront the detective, the sheriff, Billy's father. They, you know, accuse him of covering up for his son. Then they hear screaming off in the distance. And they find Billy holding the medical examiner's daughter in a very threatening manner. There is a sudden flash of light, and it cuts to Billy and the girl just standing unharmed, but they are both now sort of lucid and aware. Billy especially is kind of coming back.
Yeah, they're like lying there, and Billy kind of goes like, "Dad? Huh?" He's like,
And they are, the markings on their back are both gone. Weeks later, back in D.C., Billy is hypnotized. And again, I don't know why this is part of the like standard operating procedure for the FBI. They bring in a hypnotist, but Billy is hypnotized and remembers being kidnapped with his classmates while celebrating graduation out in the woods. He remembers being tested on by aliens. So he gives that testimony to a bunch of, you know, to an FBI hypnotist while a bunch of guys stand behind the two-way glass.
I don't think the hypnotist is FBI. It's the same person that Mulder mentioned hypnotized him.
So it's just one of those amateur hypnotists. It's one of those...
Professional. Like, he's getting paid. Professional.
Oh, sure. Yeah, all right. Okay. Scully gives her bosses, the people who originally sent her to sort of debunk Mulder's bullshit X-Files. She gives them the implant, the metal implant. Mulder then later tells her that all of Billy's case files have gone missing, and we cut to a very strange man, a man who was smoking in the interrogation room. The last scene shows him storing the metal implant in a big-ass warehouse, like Indiana Jones.
So he pulls out a little thing, and there's more metal implants. Yeah. He puts it with them, closes the box, and then, yeah, it just pans out to a gigantic warehouse.
Yeah.
And then the door, he leaves out a door, it closes, and says, like, the Pentagon.
Yeah. It's like a nice little chart that shows the Pentagon, like, fire safety. Like, you are here. Your closest fire exit is all the way over here.
So, yeah, that was the episode. That's, the smoking man, at the beginning of the episode, when Scully's being kind of debriefed on her new partnership, there's two bosses and the smoking man, and the bosses are talking to her about it, but the man is just kind of there smoking a cigarette and not saying anything. And he never says anything in this whole episode. He appears just those two or three times.
Yeah.
And so the mystery is, who is this man? Why does he know that there's more of these?
We talked about it a little bit before. We should have saved it for the podcast. That's on me. But I really enjoyed this episode, this pilot.
Oh, it was great.
And so I'm watching it. I'm about 75% of the way through the episode. And my girlfriend walks out. And I said something like, I don't know what they call fans of X-Files, but I think I'm one of them. I looked it up. They're called X-Files with a PH, like an Anglophile.
Oh, cute. Yeah, that's good.
That's
what I mean, the good ones were taken.
X-Maniacs.
X-Maniacs. It's hard to do with a hyphenated.
Yeah.
And then I think I immediately watched the next episode.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the things I noticed. I watched the next two episodes of The X-Files, and I'm going to continue watching it after this because it really hooked me. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it was that the show didn't offer a substantial closure mm-hmm. to me. Like, the first episode, obviously you figure out who's doing these murders. It's Billy.
Well, so, no, Billy's not the one murdering.
Exactly.
Billy was taking them out to be tested on. And then he said, in the hypnotist, he said that if the tests went wrong or were too much, the person would die.
Yeah.
And then, but that doesn't answer your question of like...
Yeah. It's like you solve the little mystery, what's happening in this little Oregon town.
So the town's fine, but there's still this bigger mystery. And yeah, that made me want to keep watching.
And in the next episode, I won't go into too much detail.
You got mad at me last time.
There is no next episode. There is only the pilot. I'm going to keep watching The X-Files.
Yes. Though. So that is something, there's over in the series, there's an overarching mystery about the aliens. But there's a handful, I mean, I haven't seen the third episode, you have, but the third episode is supposed to be a self-contained mystery. And there's a handful of those spattered throughout. But overall, it's just them trying to figure out what the government knows, what the aliens are doing. Something like that. I don't know. I've only seen two episodes.
What was your expectation before watching The X-Files? What were you expecting the show to be like?
I was expecting something good because, I mean, it ran for 10, 11 seasons or like 9 seasons. Then got another season 6 years later, then another season 2 years after that or something
it's
like that.
It's currently going and I think there was a last
movie
season.
Halfway through the series. So I was expecting something good and entertaining. I wasn't expecting to be sucked in like I was.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to myself in the middle of the episode. They just, something would happen or they allude that the agents would be running to figure something out. And I'd be like, what's going to happen? Like, talking about, is he the one that did this? Or like, I don't know. I'd be asking myself questions about the episode, trying to guess what's going to happen next, which shows how good, how sucked in I was.
They did create a good mystery. Even though, like, I don't see exactly the thought processes that led them to solving the mystery, they did create a good sense of tension. And maybe I just didn't pay close enough attention. I'll watch it again just to see if I missed anything. The show that I related to it the most was like Supernatural. I expected it to be a more formulaic, like monster of the week type thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that. And I'm kind of glad it wasn't because I was expecting it to come in and be like, oh, it's alien. And then they solve the aliens. And then it's the chupacabra. And they
yeah,
solve
I thought there would
the
be.
Chupacabra.
I mean, I know it's aliens, but I thought from my research, I realized that it's not just, random monsters every week or so. It's almost always something with aliens for them.
Yeah, it's mostly UFOs and you know, if it's not aliens, it's
weird,
like
things
abductions.
Happening.
Yeah. The US military is, you know, a point of suspicion for them. Like they're kind of investigating everyone and not just whatever. Like,
which good reason apparently, because the Smoking Man was obviously working for the government as well.
Like
and
they're in on it,
up to something.
It makes you a Dale Gribble inside. It makes you just suspicious of everyone and everything. It's like, oh, what if the government, you know, is in charge of the FBI? I think
so. Actually, about that, the writers and producers admitted that the show most likely played a big role in main conspiracy theories getting into the mainstream.
God damn it.
As well as even the erosion of trust in the public institution.
I mean, I don't think you can blame all of that on the X-Files.
But I mean, it was so big, they had the government was up to something, and it's established later in the series. I'm assuming it's established in the series that the CIA or the US government knows a lot of this stuff. Even in the second episode.
Yeah, yeah. The United States military is the focus of the second episode.
Shame on these people who are just so manipulated easily, so malleable to whatever's on the TV, like
they
fictional.
Started
believing
like flat Earth and.
It was so big that you have to kind of be aware that we played a little bit in this.
I don't know. I think that may be like a little bit of the writers kind of giving themselves too much credit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's a nice show. I don't think it's the reason for Flat Earth or like government conspiracy theories. Like,
I don't know.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there. From the get-go of the episode, it just starts with the white text. I think it says the following story is inspired by actual documented accounts. I was like, ooh. It's like, I don't think so, but still, ooh. It's like,
I don't know if that's right.
It did make me go like, okay, what's going to happen? And then once it started, I was like, okay, no, it's not. But it did. I don't know, man. I didn't know what the first episode was going to be about. So.
Yeah. Like, what if it was really
I was ready for some, like, it's like, is every episode going to start like this? I don't think so. The second one didn't. But I thought maybe the first episode would be a lot more kind of realistic, and then it would veer towards the end. Maybe that's when they really take creative license, and then from the second episode on. But yeah. No, they immediately flash of light, body, dark shadows, like, oh, aliens. Oh, okay.
Aliens.
I liked the writer. They did a good job of establishing that Mulder knew what he was doing, that it wasn't his first rodeo.
Yeah, like, Mulder seems very experienced. Scully seems very intelligent, but yes. Maybe not the same kind of, like, field intelligence that mm-hmm. Mulder has, but she's very, like, she's not in the way, ever.
Yes.
You know, it's
a she's helpful. She's helpful. Yeah. She asks the right questions.
Yeah.
She's the skeptic. He's the believer. She's the skeptic, which is the dynamic the creator wanted. I will get, because I'm going to keep watching, annoyed with her by like the fifth or sixth episode.
If she's still skeptical.
If she keeps saying like, it's not aliens. Dude, it's not aliens. It's like, bro, how many episodes of X-Files do you have to be in before you realize it's aliens? You know?
Yeah, at the end of the episode, pilot episode, she was like, there's no evidence to suggest that it was aliens. And I'm like, what the fuck,
like,
do you
sure,
mean?
Maybe, I guess you could say that, but how do you believe that?
Yeah, like, given everything that happened.
I get, you know, she's like, okay, I work for the FBI. I need to not say aliens. There is no actual evidence. But then I'd close my laptop and be like, holy shit, man, those were aliens, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Mulder brings that point up specifically. He's like, you know, Scully says, like, oh, it could possibly be aliens. And Mulder says, like, something to the effect of, oh, you're going to have to put that in a report now.
Yeah.
Like, so watch out. Like, watch what you think about this.
I really liked that also. That was one of the conversations where, ooh, I was like, dang, he got her. He's called her out. Like,
yeah. It's like,
that was good. That was, good job, Mulder, you know? Mulder and Scully, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, they played off each other really well. Yeah. I really liked the chemistry. It wasn't romantic in this episode. I don't think it ever really does get romantic. In fact,
you don't, like, there was a scene where, I don't know if we covered it, but Scully, like, yeah, before, notices some marks on her back. And she freaks out. It's like right before she takes a shower, she freaks out, puts on a robe, and runs over to Mulder's hotel room. And she's like, you gotta look at these marks on my back. And she, like, takes off her robe. She's just in her underpants.
Her undergarments.
And Mulder looks at it. It's a very, like, very charged scene.
I don't think it was charged. I think it was suspenseful.
You think it was suspenseful?
Because it was like, where did she get these markings from? What's going on? I don't know.
He kind of leans down a little too close to look at these marks on her lower back.
Agree to disagree.
All right. I'm just saying, like, if it wasn't meant to be that, they did a bad job.
The showrunner originally, I think there's a deleted scene with Scully's boyfriend, where they were gonna have Scully have a boyfriend.
Oh.
But then they changed their mind. They wanted them both to just come across as asexual.
That did not come across.
Okay.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that did not, like, just with that scene alone, it came across as they were sort of establishing the foundations of future,
I think,
romantic,
they do,
entanglement.
Obviously, you know, partnership, they do evolve to really care about each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it ever turns into anything romantic.
Sure. I'm not rooting for that. Like, I think it'd be great if it was just like a platonic partnership that grows mm-hmm. over time. I'm just saying,
you felt something.
You
felt something for them.
Yes. It's like, I felt like the writers were putting something in there.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, it was a pilot. Maybe they did that. They threw that in there.
They could have, yeah.
Just in case.
That's one thing about pilots. They always want to leave you wanting more. So, how would you rate this episode? I mean, definitely, we both, I think, immediately watched the second episode.
I think, I don't know, 10 out of 10, man.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
It was good.
In terms of pulling you in terms of getting you to watch the rest of the show, I greenlight this. If I'm the head of a studio.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, it started off, like you said, very basic with just mm-hmm. girl running through the woods. There's a flash of light and it's a little different than your usual cop show in that there's obviously something somewhat paranormal going on. And then, but you know, that's supernatural. There's nothing too crazy about this. Yeah. But then I really enjoyed when the sheriff IDs her. He says she's graduated same class as my son or something like that. And he starts walking off and the guy, I don't know who he was. He's not the medical examiner, but the guy or a coroner, maybe he was a coroner.
Yeah.
He was there and he says, "Oh, it's happening again, detective, isn't it?" And the detective just keeps walking away. And that had me go like, "Oh, what's happening again? Whoa, what's going on?"
Deeper mystery.
And then they cut to DC and stuff. And like, I don't know, they just kept it going from there pretty much.
I really like that element of the small town having these secrets. It's very like,
yeah,
you know, like old Lovecraftian stories mm-hmm. where it's the Innsmouth look or the, you know, where you kind of go to a small town and you think something's a little off. The people look a little weird. They're like, there's something suspicious about them. And then you slowly start to realize the entire town is keeping this secret,
yeah.
keeping this, you know, dark secret and untangling what that is. And I feel like that's a lot of what the X-Files, at least this first episode, maybe the second, the elements of it. Where you kind of, you're seeing it with fresh eyes through mm-hmm. Scully.
And that makes it a lot more believable, I think, in that, like, if, you know, if you're in New York and an alien was walking down the street, people are gonna be like, holy cow, it's an alien, whatever, whatever.
That's just the guys in costumes.
If you're in a small town and that, okay, maybe that was a bad example. If you're in New York and some dude's coming out of his coma to murder people, like that's going to be figured out. But in a small town, that's going to be covered up. And that's going to be, that's going to prevent the aliens from becoming national news immediately.
In a small town, there's one sheriff who is eager to cover everything up so he wins election next season. It's mm-hmm.
If this episode were a bigger city, people are saying, oh, I saw Billy walk out of the mental health place.
There'd be three cops instead of one.
Yeah, and they don't hold each other somewhat accountable. I don't know. The music helped a lot, I think.
Yeah, the score was great. For
it had that mysterious feel to it. It was in the right places. It had me like, know something was going to happen. That's when I was saying like, oh, is this when, holy cow, oh wait, what's going to, you know, whatever. I don't remember exactly.
It did a good job of setting the mood. It was really like 10 out of 10 across the board for production.
Yeah. I was saying earlier that you could tell Mulder knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. When he got out and drew that X, I was just thinking, brilliant. Like, this is going to come back later and, like, it's going to be so cool when it does. And then, it came back and hit much harder than I would have even expected because not only... they lost 9 minutes, which is the weirdest thing. And he gets out, bam, there's the X. Because there was... You know what I mean? It's not like something strange happened and you expect the X to be there. Something really strange happened and you forget about the X.
And it kind of establishes Mulder's experience on this, in this like area where it feels like he's been doing this for a long time. And at some point he had the same thing happen to him and he didn't draw an X on the level. And later he was just confused.
Yeah.
And now the same thing happens again. He's learned from the things that have happened in the past. He gets out, draws an X on the road to kind of give him some guideposts to, it helps him to figure things out later. That's sort of, it kind of shows his investigative process. Mm-hmm.
Something actually, when they meet Mulder and Scully, well, so I remember it was Rolling Stone magazine or rollingstone.com or something else entirely. It was like the top 100 greatest duos in TV history.
Oh.
And I remember flipping through it, trying to, like, okay, who, oh, yeah, that's a good one, whatever, like, George and Jerry maybe were there, Cliff and Norm from Cheers. So I was like, oh, yeah, oh, this, I think number one was Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
From the X-Files.
Yeah.
And I remember just kind of thinking, interesting. I've never seen the X-Files. This was also like almost a decade ago. But that, I remember that before I started watching this episode, as we were talking about we're going to watch the X-Files. I was like, we'll see. But yeah, like just right off the bat, first episode, bam. They were playing off each other. He was the believer. She's the skeptic.
Great chemistry.
Yeah, they did a good job. And I'm excited to see them grow even more together and become an even stronger partnership, I guess. And
yeah.
So yeah, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd say 10 out of 10. Watch it. Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. We'll wrap it up here. I've been Andrew.
I've been Gideon.
We will continue to be Andrew and Gideon into the next episode, where we will be discussing
a brand new medium.
Something completely new to us, animated shows. I mean, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. They've all copied the one that we are going to be discussing next, which is
The Flintstones.
No, The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
Season 1, Episode 1.
I would say The Simpsons are to animated sitcoms, or are to The Flintstones as Seinfeld is to I Love Lucy.
I agree with that.
Okay.
The Zero Conflict Podcast.
So, next, I was ready to say, find out, hear more of this banter next time, but there was no banter. Okay, alright, bye.
That's everything we care to tell you about the X-Files.
I don't want to say that.
Look up the other shit yourselves, you lazy bastards.